Gopal Champu, Uttara Section, Chapter 9, Retrieving His Guru's Son. The recitation took place at the edge of Nanda's place, made glorious by Krishna's presence. Snigdhakanta spoke. When they had completed study of the Vedas with their Angas and all the arts, the Guru performed the two boys' graduation ceremony. The people of Avanti, desiring to hold a festival on that occasion, gathered together and came with the best cloth and ornaments. Krishna and Balaram looked glorious in the ornaments and cloth. The powerful boys wanted to give their Guru a perfect gift. Having completed the rituals, the Guru, ascertaining their desire, carefully consulted with his wife and then asked for the boon of his eldest son, who had previously disappeared in the ocean. O Nanda, hearing this, the ocean of all arts, the moon of his dynasty Krishna, with a pleasant nature, feeling happy, spoke. This is the nature of great souls. Though they perfectly serve, they are shy and desire little service from their servants who they support. You desire to make us famous by your fatherly attachment. But the knowledge you gave us will produce all the results. Offering respects to the Guru and his wife, showing the people the greatness of their Guru by displaying their knowledge, fastening their waistbands strong as thunderbolts from heaven, they quickly concentrated their minds. Following the order of the Guru, the two quickly went to the ocean near Prabhas on a chariot with a driver. They arrived quickly. Then, seeing the broad expanse of the ocean for the first time, in excitement they reflected, "Ah, the ocean which spreads out water spreads wide the beholder's eyes. It seems that the ocean is happy to see us and is offering respect. The ocean is coming close to embrace us by those rolling waves. He is smiling by his many balls of foam. He is spreading his nostrils wide to smell by the forms of makaras in the waves, marked with thousands of turtles with raised backs, appearing to be eyes. He is looking at us. With the sound of millions of clouds rumbling, he is playing welcoming music. He is dancing, expressing various emotions with his limbs, by means of his waves. The ocean is making an offering with his folded hands by the whirlpools which reveal gems rare for endeavoring kings who have conquered all enemies." After making these analogies and looking at the ocean, conforming to the description given, became visible. As the boys watched, the ocean offered respects, folded his hands, and spoke in a choked voice, "Varuna has instructed me by his mercy. He said, 'You are the salt water ocean. There are many oceans such as this sugar juice oceans, but Krishna is the one ocean of mercy with no boundaries. The characteristics that Varuna described are seen in you. You and your elder brother shine like a mass of fame incarnate. Please give me an order. What should the servant of the servant do?'" Krishna said, "Please tell us where the remains of our Guru's son are lying." The ocean said, "I worship the tips of your toenails with my head, but the son went into the belly of the shellfish Panchajanya. Who knows if he is there now?" Krishna said, "If you give permission, I will bring the sun out of his belly." The ocean said, "What I will say will be most audacious, but whatever the great soul's desire will be accomplished." Krishna said to Balaram, "O respected brother, please stay in the chariot." Saying this without lamentation, Krishna dove into the ocean and came to a place near the Kanch king's house accompanied by the ocean. Panchajanya saw that Krishna resembled the boy he had previously devoured. Krishna wanted to grapple with him. The conch acted like baka and tried to swallow him and ended up vomiting him out and dying. What more can be said? There was a special point to notice, however. Though he looked for the boy in the belly of the conch, Krishna could not find a trace of any limb, but he made the conch his own possession. In the Avanti Khanda, Skanda Purana, it is said, "Killing Panchajanya, the great serpent demon who took possession of the conch as his house previously, Krishna grasped him by his middle. Coming back to his brother, he said, 'O brother, there is no trace of his body at all there. I will go to where his soul is residing.'" Balaram said, whatever you order. Going on the path shown by the ocean, emanating the power of 10 million rudras, Krishna and Balaram went to Yama's abode to bring Yama under control. From far off, the two heard a very loud, ferocious sound, and coming closer, they saw the cause without trembling. In the Avanti Khand, after blowing the conch, the scene is described. By the sound of the conch, the most sinful in hell gave up their fear and became happy. The fires of hell became peaceful on seeing Krishna. All the swords became blunt on seeing him, and all torture machines fell apart on seeing him. O Vyasa said the blades in Asipatra hell broke. Rauravak lost its cruelty. The hell called Bhavra lost its fearful nature. Kumbhipaka hell did not cook anyone. When Krishna arrived, the hell in which sinners are thrown from a mountain gave up its terrible nature. The iron needles lost their power of stitching. The Vaitarani River, which is hard to cross, became easy to cross. When the Lord of the Universe arrived, everyone became liberated because their sins were destroyed. Seeing Krishna, they attained the indestructible abode. Getting on millions of airplanes, they looked at the lotus-eyed Lord and became free of all sin. O sage, when everyone saw the Lord of Lords, the form of the universe, hell became empty. The narrator spoke in this way, concealing the godly nature of Krishna from Nanda and others with pure parental feeling by substituting other names for phrases like seen, Vasudev, they attained liberation. This had been explained by Garga, the son of Nanda, will have qualities similar to Narayana. That's from the Bhagavatam 10.8.19. The reciter continued, let us return to the topic. When all the torture stopped in the presence of Krishna, Yamaraj seemed happy, for in front of most merciful Krishna, his cruel nature disappeared. Seeing Yamaraj with unlimited flowing tears, hair standing on end, trembling, paralyzed limbs, speaking with choked voice, perspiration forming an ocean, and repeatedly offering respects, Krishna began to think, I am seeing the great devotee Yamaraj. Why do I hear about his bad character? In front of me, he is behaving properly. His cruel actions are suitable in relation to the sinful. Yamaraj, taking the people opposed to surrendering to me because of their thirst for enjoying material pleasure, punished them out of mercy, making them favorable to me. As he considered this, Yamaraj, looking at him, spoke, there is no limit to your mercy. Otherwise, why would you glance upon a cruel person like me? That glance is certainly your pastime of mercy, since that mercy constantly desires to deliver the fallen. Since your name brings peace to hell, you have not come here personally to deliver the hell dwellers. You have some other purpose. Thinking of this, my heart becomes joyful. Krishna said, one cannot become free from the results of Prarabdha karma without experiencing them. However, by the order of Guru, I desire to deliver the body of his son. Previously, you took the son of my Guru, respecting my order. In doing so, you have not broken the law of karma. Yamaraj said, O exalted master, the body which your Guru saw as his son has been destroyed. I bring the souls to this place in another body. All the residents here have gone to Swarga now. The remaining person, his son, is undergoing intense suffering. I have kept him here on seeing his terrible karma. I must do as the best among the wise orders. Krishna said, Yamaraj speaks sincerely. Considering this, I split the body of Panchajanya and concentrated on finding a trace of his body. I thought that I would take a particle of his body and resuscitate him. But not finding a trace, I have come here. Anyway, bring him here in whatever condition he is in. Yamaraj said, his parents will not be pleased on seeing his present condition. If you order, I will bring him in a body similar to the one he had previously had, but I do not see that previous body. Krishna said, that is all right. All the five elements which left his body can be gathered together again. Yamaraj said, I will follow your order. Saying this and full of joy, Yamaraj went to his inner chambers and returned, showing the previous attractive body of the boy who followed after him. Seeing him, they felt unlimited bliss embraced him and could not be fully satisfied in seeing his face. Yamraj stood there stunned in fear. After a few moments, he spoke to Krishna, who brings peace to hell, and who begged permission from Yamaraj. O Lord, you do not come here for the Guru's son because everything is created by your desire. I think that you have come to show me mercy. If that is so, destroy my association with hell. Respecting Krishna with these words, decorating the brothers and the Guru's son with ornaments, giving gifts and following them, he then took permission, offered respects, and thinking himself successful, returned to his abode with his servants while dancing. Looking at Krishna and Balaram, the Guru's son, realizing their exquisite beauty, their profuse affection, their sweet words, and that he had regained his previous state by their mercy, he became absorbed in great bliss and gazed at them constantly, such that he did not realize the chariot was speedily taking him home. When Krishna returned to the Guru's house with Balaram and the boy, why should I describe only the Guru and his wife? All the people of the city sitting near the road with excitement, wondering if the sun was coming, when they heard the sound of the conch, began loudly chattering in great bliss on seeing the boy standing between Krishna and Balaram. Putting the boy in front, Krishna and Balaram descended from the chariot and with great respect fell at the feet of the overjoyed Guru and his wife, remaining in that position for a few moments. The husband and wife, crying profusely, embraced them. Without recognizing any other object, auspicious or inauspicious, that existed. Absorbed in this way for some time, they then brought the three into their house with prolific auspicious rites with the approval of all present. They then joyfully fed them. Krishna and Balaram took from the chariot all the jewels they had obtained from the ocean and Yama's abode and gifted them to the Guru and his wife. The local people crowded around for 2 or 3 days in order to see Krishna and Balaram, the enemies of Kamsa, now suitably respected. The details about the boys became known by some Mathura Brahmanas who had come there previously with them. The people who gathered there were like an ocean. These people of lower status could not recognize front or back. The assembly of their arms was like a huge wave, and their unblinking eyes were like those of fish. They mingled with Krishna, who shone like the moon. The king of Avanti, shedding doubt that Krishna was the son of his wife's brother, and having affection as the husband of Krishna's father's sister, brought them to his house and welcomed them with great respect, along with his wife. When Krishna and Balaram asked permission to return to Mathura, the Guru spoke in a choked voice, "My soul has natural affection for you too. Having such affection, my intelligence is embarrassed on having you bring back my son, laying conditions upon my affection. I pray that you 2 members of the Yadu dynasty be my students in all future lives, and that we be your gurus and parents." The 2 said, "O Master, the real reason we became your students was your incontestable desire." Their faces became filled with tears. The 2 boys offered him respects, and he blessed them, and thus their departure was delayed. They then departed on the road, but the king, the citizens, the guru, and his wife followed them, and the 2 had to stop, for the king to follow was an obstacle. They could not immediately separate themselves from the effulgent guru, his wife, his son, and the other students, and the multitude of citizens who followed for a great distance. With difficulty, the 2 finally came from the center of the town to its edge. They then spoke sweet words to prevent the people from following further. Mathura is the birthplace of our bodies, and Avanti is the birthplace of our qualities. I have made up my mind to see you everywhere just as I see the residents of Mathura everywhere. They replied with choked voices, "If the master gives an object strongly desired by beggars, how much can we describe the wisdom of the master, and how much can we glorify the piety of those beggars?" Relishing the desire of the citizens with affection, the guru and his wife mentally returned home, but followed the 2 boys for a great distance. After embracing them and constantly speaking pleasantly and full prema, Krishna and Balaram left the guru's son and the students and dismissed the accompanying army sent by the king. Bringing the chariot to the road, they mounted it with the best of priests who had come there and arrived close to Mathura quicker than the wind, while attracting the minds of the devatas and humans. Stopping the chariot and setting off the priests, they relaxed a while, awaiting the orders of their parents. Hearing from the priests about the remarkable events, the Yadus, putting Vasudev in the center, brought the two boys into the city with Vedic and local auspicious rites. Many types of people came to see them. Those having knowledge of various subjects gathered to examine the proficiency of the boys' knowledge and were fully satisfied every day. Saying this, Snigdhakanta concluded, "O Nanda, wherever your son goes, he makes the lotus earth bloom by his effulgence and spreads heaven everywhere constantly." Nanda then said in a choked voice, "If he goes anywhere, fights and gains a kingdom, but returns home because of considering it all useless, his mother and father will be truly happy. If one hears about this, one will also become happy." Longing for Krishna, as if he had just returned, embracing him, kissing his head, Nanda shed tears from his eager eyes. Shedding such tears, all present stared with open eyes. The bards of Braj made everyone dance by reciting as follows. He went with his elder brother to the village of his guru, desiring to study as a brahmachari. He came quickly to Avanti and attended the classes near his guru. As the soul is attached to the elements, he was attached to all beings. He had devotion to Guru more than anyone else and collected more wood than his classmates. For his service, he obtained special mercy from his Guru. After studies were completed, he graduated and finished his vows. Desiring to attain what his Guru desired as donation, he went south to bring back his Guru's son. Thinking the son swallowed by the conch was still there, he finally understood that the boy had long been destroyed. But he did not give up. He took the conch as his Panchajanya conch and immediately returned to his elder brother. He swiftly went to Yama's abode. From Yamaraja's happiness he attained bliss. When the lord of those to be delivered went there, he destroyed painful punishment of its inhabitants. He took the son of his guru, who was freed from Yamaraj. He was endowed with a body, nature, and age as before. Giving the son to the guru and his wife, he pleased them and pleased many others instantly. Look at Krishna, who has come to Braj, who is smiling sweetly in great bliss. Hearing this, full of bliss, as if regaining a lost treasure, all returned to their houses. The reciter then spoke separately in the assembly of Radha and Krishna. O divine Radha, previously, after all the events, your lover, out of prema, gave you, his beloved, instructions through his dear friend Uddhava. Considering those instructions, my mind becomes bewildered, agitated, and angry. It reviles, rejoices, and expands with obvious happiness. It becomes full of bliss. I will later examine this message. However, giving you the true meaning of these events, your lover never desires to give up your association. Satisfying their own minds and satisfying all present, the two reciters returned to their residences. Radha and Krishna, full of longing after hearing of their previous separation, went to their abode of pastimes.